We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. And this morning, we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. So if you have a question dealing with Murfreesboro, give us a call. Talk or text, whichever you prefer. 615-893-1450. But we do ask that your questions deal with Murfreesboro, not some other municipality or just Rutherford County in general. This is strictly Murfreesboro. Our Vice Mayor, Bill Shacklett, is with us this morning. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Good to be with you.
Great to have you here today.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the occasion. Our mayor's a little under the weather today, so kind of you get the second stringers coming in.
Well, you're not a second stringer, but we do hope that Shane McFarland gets to feel better soon.
Thank you. I'm sure he appreciates that.
Well, tell us, one of the big things going on right now or coming up is the big new Citizens Academy.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about it. Yeah, we've been chewing on this bone of Citizens Academy for several years, and it's going to come to fruition, and I'm just so excited about the opportunity that it presents us as your city government, but also the citizens to engage and become better informed as to how city government works. And sometimes we don't necessarily open the doors and pull back the curtains and let people understand exactly the intricacies of how decisions are raised and some of the complex issues that we're having to face. But we're going to get a chance to do that. And this is kind of, if you're able to be a part of this Citizens Academy, this first one, you're on the Mayflower, basically. You're going to be charting the course for what this opportunity can be. So we're really looking forward to having a wonderful time of getting to know our community, but getting to know each other as well.
So we've had the Police Academy, had the Fire Academy. And now this is just general government. How does city government work?
It is, and there's several components to it as we kind of talk through this and what the opportunity to be. I might tell you a little bit of the genesis of this. I read a book. We all know about the Bill of Rights, but there's a book by Richard Haass, who was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee for, 20 years under various administrations. But he wrote a book called The Bill of Obligations. And I thought that was interesting, a compelling title. And it basically says that as citizens, we have certain responsibilities. And those 10 responsibilities are to be informed, get involved, stay open to compromise, remain civil, reject violence, value norms, promote the common good, respect government service, support the teaching of civics, and put our country and communities first. So that kind of started me thinking about what a Citizens Academy could do. And it's even more than just to get, we'll have our department's head, we'll meet at different locations and talk about the different departments that compose our city. But we'll also have a part of our two-hour training that we'll have an opportunity to deal with issues and talk about possible answers. And I'm really looking forward to that engagement with the public.
That is so exciting. Now, what do people do to sign up to be a part of this?
All right. Well, it's an application because we have a certain limited number of people that we're able to do, and it's been remarkable already how much response we've had to this. But go to the city's website, and you can fill out an application form. And then it looks like right now we'll probably decide how big the class can be and then have a blind drawing at September 22nd is the final day for application. So go ahead and get your name in the pot, and given that will give us some idea as to the capacity or how much interest there is in the community. And as of right now, there's a lot of interest. So I kind of believe we may be having to do this at least twice a year, and at least once a year, and then maybe even twice a year.
Now, when will it start, and how often will it meet?
Okay, it starts on October the 6th. And it'll meet every Monday night from 6 to 8. And we at various locations. We'll start out at City Hall, And then we go to Water Department. Goodness, we've got also the Richard Siegel Park we'll meet at a fire station, and then at the police department as well. So there'll be several different locations that we'll actually conduct a meeting at, so we'll get a chance to see, like I say, pull back the curtain and see how it actually comes together.
And so it will always be meeting at a city government location?
A city building. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is there a charge?
There's no charge. That's the neat thing about it. I think a lot of times we have several opportunities, but some of them cost. And the issue is this is certainly have access to people that may not have resources to be able to pay for. So it's right now it's free.
Now, do you think one of the outcomes of this would be to train people to know how government works, and then they will want to get involved in one aspect or another?
That's so true, because, you know, I've often seen when we have public comments, you know, basically we'll have, and we do that every meeting, if you want to speak on the agenda, you can speak at any of our meetings. And, of course, we've had our town halls and all, but the one thing that's kind of impressed me is that if you've never spoken in public, sometimes it's hard to get your ideas across in 3 to 5 minutes, and it's hard to convey if you haven't spoken in public. It's intimidating. So hopefully this time we'll give you an opportunity to see what it feels like to be in council chambers or to be in front of people and sharing and trying to put together your thoughts so that you can contribute something positive to the deliberation. And I'm really excited that this, if you're considering maybe serving on one of our boards or commissions, or if you're considering running for public office, if you'd like to think, well, I might run for office at some point in time, getting a chance to understand and get to know the people too, because so much of effective government is relationship driven. It's when you're not calling Councilman Shacklett, you're calling Bill. All of our councilmen, by the way, will host one of these. Each of our councilmen will be hosting one of these events as well. So you'll get to know them as well. They'll tell you a little bit about how they came to public service and get a chance to communicate with the citizens as well. So, you know, there's just a lot of synergies that can happen. A lot of good things can happen when we set the table for something like this to happen.
So when you meet with one of the councilmen, maybe somebody has a desire to get more involved and maybe themselves run for city council.
Right.
That lets them talk one-on-one with the person about...
Exactly. What does it mean?
Yeah,
what does it look like? I remember when I first ran for public office, I had no idea what it was. And I came alongside some people and asked them what it was, you know, what was I committing to when I was running for public office? I'd actually been an election official, I think, goodness, probably 25 or 30 years before I ever ran for public office. But I still didn't know what it was, what kind of commitment was I making. And to get a chance to talk to people, get their impressions as to what it would be like to serve on the Parks and Rec Commission, or serve at one of the other commissions, our boards. What is it like to get more involved in our community, to be a part of that deliberative process, to be engaged. And I think that there's several people out there that would just like to participate at a deeper level. The least we can do is vote and participate and become knowledgeable. But this gets you into that next level, that next tier of involvement.
Now, one of the things that I hear so many people say, I would like to do that, but I don't know if I have enough money to get into the position of city council. Is it something that, do you have to spend a lot of money to do that?
Well, I think people understand how I kind of do it, but let me give you a roadmap to those people that may find themselves, resource challenged, let's say. Get involved in something. Something stirs your heart, a passion for something to be done. And if you've ever thought, well, somebody ought to do something, somebody ought to do this, well, the question might be, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that need to get involved. And there's plenty of wonderful nonprofits in our community that are seeking people to serve on boards, to serve as those individuals that actually help do the work. You know, this is the exciting thing, I think, about our community. There is millions, so many opportunities to get involved. And if you have something that you really are passionate about, for me, it was working with young people. I started working with young people in our church, and then coached baseball coached baseball and working with young people. If that is where your heart lies, then invest yourself in that. And it allows you to kind of establish your voice and understand who you are and what you are in public service. And then it gives people a chance to know you, too. They get a chance to see your heart and what you bring to the table in public service. And then let that lead you into running for office. But like I said, we have lots of boards and commissions, so you can put your application in for boards and commissions. And you might get an opportunity to serve on one of our boards or commissions. But get involved. I mean, the issue is there's always work to be done. And if you have if you've ever raised the question, somebody ought to do something about that, well, then find your place and start doing it.
Very definitely. Well, that is great news. And so you can find out more about that. But you need to sign up first to be in this Citizens Academy to learn about local government, which begins on October the 6th, Monday evening, 6 until 8, mm-hmm. for how many weeks?
8 weeks.
Eight weeks. Okay.
And that's www.murfreesborotn.gov/Citizens Academy is where that application is on the web. You can go to the city's website and it'll take you right there. And if you've seen some of the publications, there's a QR code that'll take you right there if you want to find that. But that'll get you right to the application. And I will say, just remind folks, it is an application. We've already had we've had more people sign up than we can fill a class with. But once we see how much the interest is, then we'll decide how large the class can be. And then do a blind drawing. It'll be just a blind drawing for who's in the class. And those that aren't in the class this time, next time will be another opportunity for you.
Very definitely. Well, tell us again, what is that website?
It's www.murfreesborotn.gov and then /Citizens Academy.
All righty. And you need to do that quickly because time is running out. Plus, even more important, the class is filling up.
It is. And like I say, we decided rather than stop it at a certain number, we wanted to get some kind of gauge as to how much interest there is in the community, kind of give us an idea as to how many classes or when we would do another one. So we're going to let this go. We had initially said applications would be open until the 22nd of September. And that's at 5 p.m. on that day. And then we'll cut off applications at that time and decide how large the class can be and then blind draw that number so that you'll get notification that you're in the class.
It'll still,
those people that aren't able to make this class, will probably be doing another one at another time so we can do it. But it'll give us an idea. But if you're in that first class, you're on the Mayflower and you're establishing what this is going to be and what this can be for our community.
That's always exciting to be in those first ones.
It is.
Well, here's something. Could you give us an update? We haven't had a good update on the downtown projects. This affects so many people, including the square. There's renovations around the square going on. The old Methodist Church, how is that sitting? The bank next to you, that's exciting.
There's still some questions being raised. I think the county's got interest in that building behind us, so I think that there's some interest in what that becoming county offices. So I'm pretty sure that's we're going to be neighbors with the county, so that's they've been across
that's
the street.
Good neighbors.
That's not a problem. They're good neighbors.
And then, of course, the Keystone Project.
Keystone Project. In fact, we've got something on our agenda, this workshop agenda tomorrow, dealing with the kind of amending their TIF application, so to include some of the parking to allow them to shuffle some debt. They've got to make an amendment to their application for their TIF. So we'll be voting on something on tomorrow. The Keystone Project amending their TIF application with the Industrial Development Board.
Is it looking pretty solid?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not going to no. fall through.
No, I think, and I know your interest. But yes, and we're all interested in this thing, this project going forward. I can see the things that, you know, that's the thing I think sometimes, you know, whether it's your personal life or your public life, understanding what you have control over and what things that you don't. And I've been really encouraged with how we're moving across the street from Keystone on the daylighting of Town Creek. Is going to be beautiful when that gets done. And the great opportunity there. But we need a shovel in the ground for our Keystone project. We sure do. But it's all the words that I'm getting is it's very positive.
Now, Will, you say you're hearing very good positive words. Any idea as to when they first start moving dirt?
I think we've all asked that same question, and I haven't got a clear idea as to when that shovel's going to be in the ground. But that it is closer than it was, and we're moving. Is all I can say. Now, is that a political answer or not? But it's closer than it was yesterday. Let's put it that way. But that's what we hear.
One thing that's exciting now. When I heard about the daylighting of Town Creek, I thought, well, that'll be nice. Mm-hmm. And I just envisioned just a simple little creek,
big.
And because that's what it used to be—a simple little creek. And I thought, well, that'll be nice. But why is it going to attract people? This thing's big and beautiful. It rambles back and forth.
And it has an event space, you know, where we'll have opportunities. We were just down in Georgia this last weekend. And there's, you know, the thing today, and I'm so glad that we're on the front end of this and considering spaces where people can gather, places where people, feel community. And we're fortunate that we still have a downtown community. A lot of communities have lost their downtown, but thanks to organizations like Main Street and certainly the cooperation of city and county government, we have places in our downtown where people can gather, whether it's for the farmers market or the concerts. We have places where people can feel, even though we're 170,000 people, we can feel like a Mayberry. You know,
yeah.
we feel like a community where we see our neighbors and we feel connected to them. And I think that's what this space is going to be. It's going to be a place where people gather, where you just take a walk with your grandchildren or your children. You may dab your feet in the water and just have an opportunity to really feel connected.
So there will be places to actually get down where you can.
Oh, yeah.
The kids can play in the water.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know whether it would have so many rocks and flowers and things you couldn't get there.
Given all the pictures that I've seen of what it's going to look like, yeah, there'll be places where people can actually wade.
And then it actually connects over to the creek beside Cannonsburg.
And I've taken a lot of pictures over
there. Oh, yeah.
I've taken a lot of pictures over there at Cannonsburg.
Uncle Dave days.
Oh, and Uncle Dave, when Uncle Dave was there. Yes, yeah. So, I mean, that is something I think, I think being trying to be forward thinking is, because our town's not going to get smaller.
No.
The issue is it's going to get larger. So the issue is where we can provide that kind of opportunity for play and place where people can get together and gather and feel connected to them, to each other, but to nature as well. Because a lot of times, in municipalities, that idea of connecting to nature is not necessarily an option that they have. But I think this is going to be a great opportunity for us.
I think the old word fake news that we hear so much about.
Oh, my goodness. I wish that word had never been invented.
Cannonsburg has gotten a lot of fake news. And people have gotten all upset about it. It's steady over there. This creek, the daylighting of Town Creek, will breathe new life into Cannonsburg.
Exactly. And the hope is, of course, there's other properties in that area. That is an area that provides lots of growth economically for opportunities for people in that area. And I think that's what the engine can be driven by, those aesthetics. A lot of times, the aesthetics, when you do economic growth sometimes and you build big buildings and you worry about, create the businesses. And a lot of times when you do that in downtown municipal areas, you lose the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about this project is that we're considering the aesthetics to be the engine that drives the economic growth. And so I think that's kind of exciting to see that we're kind of ahead of the game in building the aesthetics for our community as we grow economically.
Now, that particular daylighting of Town Creek is one of the things that will drive that whole end of town.
We sure hope.
It'll drive Cannonsburg. And then you remember that public meeting many years ago where everybody got together and determined what do we want to do with
the charrettes.
Yes.
Those were called charrettes. Yeah, I remember
phenomenal
those.
Phenomenal returns. So it may bring growth to making that dream come true,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, exactly.
When do you think the creek, now that's a little more tangible, and we see it happening.
It should be, and I should probably have that information for you, but I don't. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I was just sort of thinking, well, I wonder if it'll be, obviously, we're moving into fall now, and the next big time.
I would say next year. If I had to
summertime,
guess, I would say next year if I had to guess.
So hopefully by summertime, Cannonsburg of next year will be able to say, hey, look at that. Come on over and play in our bigger creek.
There you go. There you go.
So that's all happening. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We'll come back, and we're getting some text in here. So let's answer your question, 615-618-1450. That's our number, 615-893-1450. I don't know why I was getting you. I gave you some strange number. 615-893-1450. I don't know who 1480 is.
1480?
615-893-1450.
You'll get it down, Bart. You get it practiced on this.
It takes a while. After 40 years. What's that number again? We'll be right back.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE has provided light, comfort, and connection to our community since 1936. As your trusted energy advisor, MTE is always here to help. Connect online or download the My MTE app.
Dozens of vendors.
One local tradition.
Plump, juicy tomatoes.
The Farmer's Market. Every Tuesday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 1.
Pick fresh this morning.
At Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Farm fresh eggs.
At 315 John R. Rice Boulevard.
50 years strong. Come see why.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street in Murfreesboro. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Come out and see us for all of your music needs. We've got guitars, pianos, amps, drums, PA equipment, rentals, lessons, most anything you can think of in the music genre. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that, and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Good morning. Still a couple of accidents, still getting some attention out here. Still some volume in a couple of spots, like 24 westbound up by Bell Road. All that traffic coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County here in this section of Antioch, Davidson County. Still remains heavy. 65 southbound down through Millersville, and also it's slow 65 south here at Trinity Lane. When you need dependable towing for your car or big truck, no matter what county you're in here in Middle Tennessee, call STR Towing and Recovery. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low near 63. Thursday, sunny, high of 90. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 59.
WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Weekday mornings at 8:10 on News Radio WGNS.
Welcome back. Want to say happy birthday to Oma Shelton. Oma Shelton is our birthday winner today, and Oma receives, oh boy, that delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Boma. Our good neighbor of the day is Megan at DeSharo Orthodontics. She'll receive flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Jenny always does a great job over there. If you're needing flowers or anything to perk somebody up, go see Jenny Harrison at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Another one of our great local family businesses, 117 South Academy Street here in Murfreesboro. It's pretty neat with all the great family businesses. I know you're a pro family business.
Most definitely.
Because you are one.
There we go. I is one.
And we are too. So, I mean, it's fun to get to know your neighbors.
We are so fortunate in our community to have so many of those businesses that have been around for a long time that have carried on the legacy and the responsibility of small businesses. It's a challenge. It always is. You know, there's always ups and downs, but we're just very fortunate to have a lot of small businesses and family-owned businesses that have been in our community for a long time.
You get to know your neighbors when you
go in
there
and
shop.
Yes. Share a lot of life with our neighbors. You're right, our good neighbors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a question here. This person's relating to the growth in the community, and they say the traffic is still horrendous, and they're wondering about traffic downtown. They say, especially coming in College Street, that those lights are not synced together at all. You leave one light after it's turned green, and they say you go to the next one and you're stopped a block later, and then you change and it stops you again. How can you get these things working?
Well, I know our traffic department is constantly making evaluations as to where that is, and I'll make a note of that so that they can look at it and see if that's an issue.
That's College.
If there's something, College Street, you're saying?
All the way. Let's see. They don't say it. They say College and Maple, mm-hmm, and Church and Spring.
Okay.
Oh, and Spring is not a light, so.
No.
But Maple and the other one are.
Okay. I'll ask them to look at it, because they're always making evaluations. Because, you know, the issue is, you know, traffic is it's a dynamic thing. It's always changing. And the challenge is when we have to build something or when there's construction, and there's a couple of projects that are coming, the widening of Memorial, the Cherry Lane project, you know, all of these kind of, and then, goodness, there's Thompson Lane widening that's a state road.
Mm-hmm.
When all of these projects happen, it's kind of like I reflected the other day about the bridge over Broad. You know, it was a nightmare for a couple of years where we were trying to get that done, and everybody thought, oh my goodness, is it worth it? But it's like, it's like so many things. It is a lot of pain while we're doing the construction, but man, we wouldn't want to go back to where the traffic on Broad Street was all coming to one congestion there at Memorial and Broad Street. So it's made a significant difference in the long run. And when you have a dynamic community that's growing like Murfreesboro, those kind of things happen. But it is a part of, you know, helping the citizenry, you know, feeling like they can engage, you know, us, the people that are making decisions and calling it our attention to certain things. And, you know, I've told young people that I've talked to for years, persistence and a little bit of patience yields an opportunity. So you keep on, you have to keep on saying it sometimes, and then you know, something can be done over a period of time. But I know the traffic department is always looking at how the lights are regulated and how traffic can be improved by signalization.
Here's another question, which is a close cousin to what you're talking about. They're talking about the expansion of Cherry Lane on over to the interstate. Tell us about the progress on that. And they say that they live on Leanna Road and that the traffic, especially at the intersection of Leanna Road and Thompson Lane, is horrendous. They are hearing that the city has approved a traffic signal there, but that's been told for over a year, and there's no traffic signal there. And they say that the backup is really rough onto Leanna Road in the morning hours, early morning hours. People who live within a block or so along that road can't even get out of their driveways because of the cars waiting to get out into traffic on Thompson Lane.
Right.
So what's the holdup on the traffic light?
Well, the property acquisition, you know, a lot of that.
You have to have acquisition for
a traffic light? Cherry Lane. No, for the Cherry Lane addition,
right,
the Cherry Lane extension. And so a lot of that is just, it's in process, you know,
okay.
And the issue is, like I say.
It just takes time.
It just takes time to get it resolved. So until we have that extension, and you know, the irony is, like, we're behind the curve, you know, in a growing community like this, we're behind that curve. So, and there's really a lot of these state projects, you know, we've kicked in extra dollars to kind of move them up the pecking order. A lot of local dollars, thanks to a lot of things, but including the sale of our Murfreesboro Electric.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those funds are going into infrastructure, and a lot of that money that resulted from the sale of Murfreesboro Electric are going into infrastructure improvements. So a lot of that is taking place. You know, it just takes time to get it done. But hey, listen, please keep telling us. I mean, like I said, keep telling when there's problems, and you know, and I've noticed there's every time I go riding around town, I find another area that, oh, I didn't realize it was bad. I remember when it used to take, all of us that have been around for any length of time realize, well, it was just a few minutes to go to. We planned to go to something. I remember going out to the Murfreesboro, the city schools building, and I used to think from my office, because it's a straight shot down South Church, and I used to allot 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get there, you know. And now it's 20, 30, and I remember one time there was an accident there, and it took me an hour and a half to get from the square, my studio, to the Murfreesboro City Schools office. So, you know, it's just, you know, I know it's a headache. I remember Reed and I were just down in Atlanta, and it seems like we were every time you're in the Atlanta area, there's construction going on all the time, and you just have to grin and bear it. You know, it's the price of being in a dynamic growth area, and I guess that's the price of being in a dynamic growth area. And we can always do better, and we should always be looking to do better. I mean, the issue is that, you know, trying to move the needle to move things up. And we are doing that. Like I say, investing dollars into infrastructure has been something we've been committed to. The council as a whole has been committed to for years, finding those extra dollars to commit to projects that may not just be local. Some of these are local projects that we're controlling, but projects where the state is in charge of the pecking order, and when it gets done, committing a few more dollars in those projects, move them up so that they can get them done a little bit quicker. So
now, the second part of their question, we haven't really answered that one yet, dealing with the traffic signal at the intersection of Leanna Road and Thompson Lane.
Okay.
They said the city approved that about a year ago, but the traffic is backed up for about a block or so in the mornings because, well, you know, you're widening Thompson Lane, or need to widen it, because of the heavy flow of traffic, especially in the school zones. And they say that the people can't get out of Leanna Road very quickly.
I know where that intersection is.
Okay.
I know exactly where
And they say that they can't even get out of their driveways because of the cars parked. And if you had a traffic signal there, it would let those cars out.
Yeah,
and has nothing to do with Cherry Lane.
Yeah. Let me check on that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can you let us know the answer?
I can.
We need to respond to the people who are tuned in. 615-893-1450. That's the number to text questions to us this morning. 615-893-1450. This person is saying we're in the Blackman community. It, too, is overflowing with traffic. We're looking forward to our new park. And how is the progress on the new park, and when do you think it will be open?
Well, you know, Nate has given us, I'm sorry, just not prepared to answer exactly when it's going to be open. I'm thinking next year, or they've working on it. We had an aerial picture of the preparation. The ground preparation's well underway. They've pretty much skinned the whole piece of property, so it's well underway. But I want to say next year, but I'm not positive, so I'd have to check on that as when the park's going to be open. The traffic in that area, that part of these road projects and infrastructure projects involve either state or sometimes county roads. So we're working with the county in improving some of those road systems in that area, particularly, you know, when we're around a school and it impacts, because those schools have a tremendous impact on that. Although I did talk to somebody that lived in that area for a long period of time not too long ago and thought that it was, you know, it was working better than they thought it was going to. It still may be some headaches, I guess, whenever schools are opening or closing. You know, before the school started, we had maybe not as significant of issues when the schools are in operation. Of course, first of the day and the end of the day is when the problems, you put more stress on your infrastructure. So, but I think there are still some intersection improvements that'll be done in that area that'll hopefully make that situation a little bit better too.
Here's a listener in the downtown area, lives on Spring Street, and they say that traffic... We've gotten everybody stirred up with traffic, it looks like.
Surprise!
They said traffic is a problem, but a bigger problem is people who park on each side of the street. Sometimes it just makes it a challenge for people to get down the street. Fortunately, they have not recalled any big accidents. But is there anything that can be done? And they say that at one time there was conversation about making the downtown roads alternate one-way roads to sort of,
they're correct. I remember that discussion, and I'm not sure why we didn't move forward with that. I know exactly what you're, you know, going home every night, I have that same issue where I have to weave in and out to get, because there's parking on both sides of the road, particularly on Church Street. And so yeah, let me check on that. I'm not really sure why that dedicated road had not been, we didn't see anything come to council. So, yeah.
Okay. And this person here is asking about the old Methodist Church location downtown. They say it's just a shame to leave the place empty to ruin, and that's what's happening. They guess that nobody's even been in there to see how the church is doing, and we had great plans for using it for future use, including saving that historic bell tower. It may be too late. What is happening there?
Well, everybody wants that answer, and I'm afraid we do not have that answer now. I mean, the issue is we're there's needs in a parking needs in our downtown. The city is trying to progress. All of the clawback provisions basically have expired on that property. When we sold that property, it's not under the city's control right now. So, you know, yes, we really, and listen, every Sunday I get somebody asking me about that.
Because you used to have a city parking lot, didn't you?
You used to have a city parking lot there. That was part of the
sale.
And
it's still there for all practical purposes.
And,
but it's fenced in.
It's been, yeah. But parking is one of the consistent needs in our downtown. So, and you know, a place for county offices to be able to expand as well. So hopefully, you know, we can provide and come up with some kind of solutions to be able to have some leverage. That's the problem now, is that the city doesn't have a whole lot of leverage over that. And as bad as that sounds and as sad as that is, you know, we've just got to watch that ball play out its course too. But there's some movement. There's people trying to make, we've made an offer on that property, and hopefully, you know, we can come to some resolution. But it's in process again, and we can only hope that reasonable minds will consider, you know, what's at stake here. And one of the chief considerations is, and all of us in the downtown community, and particularly those of us that are historic-minded, is the value of that First Methodist Church building and saving that as an iconic building in our downtown area. And I agree with you. It's just sitting there.
Can nobody go in to just see if it's okay?
Well, the issue is private property, so I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's not the city's property, but you know, structurally, there might be some leverage to be able to check and see if it's structurally sound. Still, I don't know. I'll have to check.
It'd be a shame to see that it's
collapsed.
Leaking.
Yeah.
And just ruining everything inside.
Time is its enemy. You know, for an older building like that, and you know, you don't see any maintenance or any consideration for stabilizing that building, and that's what I guess all of us that are, you know, conscious of its historic value in our downtown are concerned about.
When did that get vacated? I mean, but when did the city buy it and sell it up until?
I'd have to look. I don't have those.
Has it been 10 years? I mean,
it's been close to 10 years. Yeah.
That's what I thought. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Time
I remember
move.
We had several, when that property was being considered, we had several people come to us and make presentations, and it was a very exciting time. Everybody had these beautiful presentations, but it's, again, a presentation is not a development, so the issue is, you know, when are you going to put a shovel in the ground again? And so I think that we've all learned process, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So we've learned a lot. You know, our contracts are developed a little bit differently to give us a little bit more ability to call back provisions like that.
Vice Mayor Bill Shacklett is our guest this morning. We're going to take a little pause, and then we'll be back and take your final questions. So if you have a question, get it into us quickly. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450.
The Braves, MTSU, local sports. Yeah, we got them. Your local sports connection is WGNS.
AM, FM, online.
This is Richard Parton, and I'd like to tell you about Adams Place. We have been here 8 months, and at this point we have not even turned our stove on. No need. They come in every week and change your linen and clean your house, and it's just like a dream, like being on a cruise every day.
This is Terry Deal. Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
Be a part of their next flower arranging class.
If you are looking for some you time, grab some friends and sign up for a wreath or flower arranging class. It's a great way to relax, learn, and have fun. Refreshments are provided. We are open for other classes. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County and as well as surrounding counties.
When the unexpected happens, fire, water, or storm damage, Fair Construction can help. Fair Construction is also there to help when a car slams through the wall, and that seems to happen more often these days. I'm Ron Hall. Let our family at Fair Construction help you. Call Fair Construction, and we'll board up, put down tarps, secure your home or business until the insurance coverage is approved. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Fair Construction Company.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Welcome back. The final segment of our broadcast. Murfreesboro Vice Mayor Bill Shacklett is our guest this morning. And we have just a few minutes left in our broadcast, so if you have questions, here's a listener out on South Church Street, Shelbyville Highway. They say they live out of the city limits, just past the city limits, over the hill and on the other side of the park. They said they're in a big subdivision and they really need Murfreesboro fire protection and police protection. Are people thinking about annexing that area? And what do you need to do to annex?
Well, property owners now, state law requires property owners have to make their application to be annexed.
Oh, city, so you can do that.
City can't, but it would not be, it would have to be that whole development. I'd be surprised that there wouldn't be individual pieces of property that would be annexed.
Oh, you'd have to do the whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah. I would think.
You couldn't have little islands.
No. So but that's the process now. The city can't aggressively go out and annex property. If you have questions, and I apologize for not being as quick, seems like our mayor has the answers on the tip of his younger minds are able to hold on to things a little bit quicker than mine. So I apologize for not being able to answer everybody's questions. But if you do, please either call us again and ask those questions, you can call me or you can call any of our council or call the city manager's office and ask those questions if you have questions about particular areas of our community and what's happening there.
And Bill has promised to let us know the response.
I have two questions that I'm going to ask.
So we'll have those for you here on the radio. Just wait patiently, and you'll find out about that. And you mentioned about parking, this new Keystone project, which is here, this area where the library, the police department, behind the library where the police department was, that will have a big parking garage.
It is, and that's one of the amendments that we'll be talking about amending their TIF application tomorrow. It will be is on our agenda. For our tomorrow's workshop.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll
and
have
that's at the airport.
It's at the airport.
That has turned into be a great facility.
It really has. A lot of time the airport, and that's one of the places we're going to visit with the Citizens Academy as well. So I just again one reminder: join the put your application in for the Citizens Academy. Look online on the city's website. Look online and make application to it before September the 22nd. If you'll apply before September 22nd to the city's website and make applications to the very first or the renewal of our citizens. I think we had several years ago we had a Citizens Academy, but this is the next generation 2.02 Citizens Academy for the city of Murfreesboro. I think you'll really enjoy getting to know a little bit more how local government functions.
Vice Mayor Bill Shacklett has been our guest this morning. Bill, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Bart.
Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station.